Let's take your Bibles this morning, open the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, as we're continuing our study through the book of 2 Corinthians, and just been a wonderful study so far. As we've gone through the first seven chapters, now we're getting into chapter 8 here this morning, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7, and we'll read those together corporately. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. If not, the words will be up on the screen, and so we'll read those together this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and read with me this morning verses 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us, Lord, and as you've given us your word that we can read it and we can, Lord, study it. Lord, I do pray that you'd give us wisdom and understanding this morning, and Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts as only you can. Lord, we thank you again for those who have followed the Lord in believers' baptism this morning, wanting to make that public testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for them in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you just bless now in our service and the message. Use it to speak to hearts and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Bible tells us that what is needed for salvation, what man needs for salvation, is God's grace. If it was not for God's grace, we could not be saved. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is God offering salvation to those who do not deserve salvation. God has offered that to us, and of course we know the only way that a person can be saved, the Bible says, is through Jesus Christ and him alone. There's no other way. Again, many other religions and other people try to say, well, maybe this way or that way, or some have even taught maybe through baptism or church membership. But the Bible says very clearly that it is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. No other way. In fact, in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation can only be had through Jesus Christ. But if it was not for God's grace, we would never be able to be saved. If it was up to what we had to do, if it was up to something that we were to try to work to accomplish, every one of us would not make it. Every one of us would die and spend eternity in the lake of fire, because there's nothing that you and I can do to please a holy God. And that's why God says he offered his son, Jesus Christ, as the payment for our sin. And if we will, by faith, put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we can be saved. And so we think that, well, salvation is by grace, and so that's all that we need God's grace for, is just for salvation. But yet the Bible very clearly tells us that not only do we need God's grace for salvation, but the Bible tells us, even Peter tells us, that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We need grace on a daily basis, not to continually being saved daily. Salvation is only one time. That's it, period. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ gives you that gift of eternal life, you don't ever have to be saved again. This baptism that these folks did today, it did not complete their salvation. They're saved, period. they got saved and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I love how each of them were able to say, this certain time, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. May I ask you this morning, do you know, has there been a certain time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that there's been a time when you've put your faith and trust, not in a church, not in some action of baptism or keeping the commandments or some ritual like that, but no, there was a time when you understood that you were a sinner and you could not save yourself, and you realized that Jesus Christ was the only one who could save you, and there was a day that you called out to him for salvation. I hope there's a time in your life when you can remember that. If not, my friend, we would love to take the word of God and show you how today could be that day of salvation for you. To know for sure that you're saved. To know for sure that when you die, that you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important decision you can make in your life. But yet he says we are to grow in grace. Peter says we're to grow in grace. And I'm not sure if you noticed here, but he talks about this grace that the Macedonian believers had. There's a grace that we need in all of our lives. In fact, if you look at the very last verse that we read, he says, as ye abound in everything. Remember, he's writing to this Corinthian church that in the first letter, church wasn't doing so well, right? In the first letter of 1 Corinthians that he writes, that there was a lot of issues that Paul was having to correct. There was some doctrinal issues. There was some strife. There was some envy. There was some discord in the church. There was some confusion about some things. And so Paul writes to correct these things, even some sin that was very open in the church that Paul says, this isn't right. So in the first letter, Paul has to correct some things. But now as he's writing the second letter, he's seeing, as we saw just a couple weeks ago in chapter number, in the earlier chapter there, about how they chose to respond to conviction. And they responded well and they began doing what God wanted them to do. And he says, as ye abound in everything. And notice these things they're abounding in. He says, in faith. So they're growing in their faith. And utterance. The utterance there has to do with them giving out the gospel. They're telling other people about Jesus Christ. So they're growing in faith. They're growing in their utterance. He says, and knowledge. So they're growing in their knowledge of the Lord. They're trying to walk closer with the Lord each day. And in diligence. So they're being diligent about the Christian life. And in your love to us. He says they had a love for the Apostle Paul. He says, see that ye abound in this grace also. He says, you're doing really well in many things. You're growing in your faith and you're telling other people about Jesus and you're growing in things. But he says, there's one aspect of grace that you need to abound in. There's one aspect of grace that you need to grow in. And really, when we think of grace, so many times we associate grace just with salvation. Right? Grace is just what we need for salvation. God's grace is what is salvation is there for. But no, he says there's a grace that we need. In fact, we need grace in every aspect of our life. But he says specifically here, there's a grace that I want to challenge you, church, Corinthian church. There's a grace that I want to challenge you to grow in. Did anybody catch what this grace was? Anybody catch what it was? It's the grace of giving. The grace of giving. He says, I want you to grow in this grace. The grace of giving. Now again, so many times we associate grace just with salvation. But he says, I want you to grow in this grace of giving. You say, how do you know he's talking about this when he says this grace also? How do you know he's talking about giving? Well, let's go back up in verse number one. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So this whole passage from verse number one all the way down is talking about this aspect of grace that God gave to the church of Macedonia. There's an aspect of grace. Now, again, we understand the church of Corinth, those are believers already. And the churches of Macedonia, those were believers already. But yet he says the churches of Macedonia were given grace. And he says to the church of Corinth, I want you to abound in this grace. What grace? The grace of giving. The grace of giving. Now, Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthian church in the area of giving by showing them the example of the Macedonian churches. Now, we know that Paul went to several places in Macedonia, or what we would call Greece today. We know he was in Athens, and you know he went to Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica, some places there. And so he's referring to these Macedonian churches here, and he's using them to show the Corinthians God's grace in giving. God's grace and giving. Now, what's interesting to think about this is the Corinthian church was a pretty affluent church. In other words, the church of Corinth, they weren't poor. They kind of had a little bit of money. So then why is Paul saying, I want you to abound in the grace of giving? Well, let's look at some of the things that Paul says here, because again, the early church, when you go back to the early church at the very start, it considered giving to be a grace. It was the grace of God. In fact, it was a passion of the early church, an overwhelming desire to share the things of God with others. When you go back to Acts chapter 2 and you read throughout the early church there, think about how often we find them even willing to sell their own possessions to give to meet the need of someone else. I mean, even it talks about Barnabas. Barnabas even sold pieces of property so that he could help other believers. It was a passion of the early church. They were even willing to sell their own possessions to help someone else that was in need. So on Paul's third missionary journey, he was collecting an offering for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was, of course, we know the first church, and that was where the gospel was started, and the church was established, and from there it was to go into all the world and preach the gospel throughout that church, and of course persecution came in, and it was from this church that others throughout the region of Israel and other areas had heard the gospel. But now the church in Jerusalem was actually suffering. They were weak. They had there was a famine that was taking place. The church of Jerusalem was now poverty stricken. And so the missionary churches, Paul was encouraging these other churches that had benefited from the gospel going out from Jerusalem. He's encouraging these other churches to help to send an offering to the church of Jerusalem to help those in need. There was those that were in Jerusalem that were in need, and he says, hey, this is the where the gospel began in Jerusalem, and the gospel started going out through the church of Jerusalem. And so he says, now they're in need, and so we want to be able to encourage them and help them. And so he's trying to collect an offering, but what we find is the church of Corinth, though it was very wealthy, had kind of decided that, nah, we're not going to have a part in that. We're not going to do that. We need it really more for ourselves. I mean, think about it. You know, hey, if they're in need, you know, they should be able to take care of themselves. And so they were kind of turning away. They were kind of turning their backs on brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul is saying, hey, hold on a second. Whoa, wait a second. Man, you are growing in faith and you're growing in giving the gospel and you're going in many of these other areas. But here's an area that you need to grow in. The area of the grace of giving. And he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example here. And he says here that the grace of God was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Watch what happens when we grow in the area of grace giving. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to talk about money in an aspect of, hey, we want your money, and sometimes visitors or some people that maybe may go to church less frequently think, boy, the church only talks about money. That's all the church ever talks about is money. I very rarely talk about money. Very rarely do I ever talk about money. But this morning, you just happened to be here on a time where I'm talking about money, okay? And it's not that I planned it that way. It's just we're going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and this is just where we're at this morning, okay? So I didn't like pick this topic like, oh yeah, I see who's here. Let me talk about giving today. No, this is just where we're going through our study on the book of 2 Corinthians. So notice some things that Paul says about the churches of Macedonia in this area of grace giving. Notice the grace that is given to these churches. Notice it says they gave despite the circumstances they were in. When God gives us this grace in giving, we're able to give despite circumstances. Because here's the number one reason why most people, or the excuse that most people give not to give, is what? Can't afford it. Things are just really tight right now. Boy, if you just knew what we were going through, you would understand. We just can't give right now. But wait a minute. When we go to this aspect of grace giving, we begin to find that they gave despite the circumstances. Notice what it says about this church in verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, there's a couple words I want you to notice here. He says, the great trial of affliction and their deep poverty. You notice those two phrases there? The great trial of affliction and their deep poverty. Does it sound like they were doing well financially? Doesn't sound like it, does it? No, it says they were being afflicted. They were in great persecution, right? There were great trials of affliction, he says there. They were being persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just like everything was going easy. No, he said they were being persecuted because they were trying to follow Jesus Christ. They were standing for the gospel, and they were being persecuted for it. And because of the persecutions, it led to them being in deep poverty. Now, I don't know what we consider poverty, necessarily in America. I know there's kind of a poverty level or thing, something like that in our country. But I guarantee you, no one has experienced poverty like they were. I mean, they were in deep poverty, the Bible says, along with the persecutions and the afflictions that they were going through. I mean, things were not going well, and we'll look at even how this church started in a minute. But they didn't have a surplus. It wasn't like, oh, we've got plenty over here, let's give. They didn't have an abundance. This was what Paul was trying to say. Wait a minute, Church of Corinth, you have a surplus. You have an abundance. These churches in Macedonia, they didn't. They didn't have a surplus. They didn't have extra. They were in deep poverty. In fact, as we read along, Paul actually tries to tell them, don't give. You ever heard a preacher say that? Don't give, right? That's what Paul was saying. He says, you are in such deep poverty. He says, you shouldn't be giving. But yet he says, because of the grace of God that was bestowed upon them, he said, this church that was in deep poverty was willing to give more than this Corinthian church who had abundance and surplus. You remember the passage in the New Testament and the gospel records where Jesus is standing there at the temple. He's standing at the treasury and he's watching as people cast into the treasury. Remember that passage? And Jesus says that he saw many that were casting in much. I mean, they were giving much money into the treasury. But he says something else about that. He said they were giving much out of the abundance that they had. So they were giving much, but they still had a whole lot more back at home. And then he tells us that there was a widow woman. A widow, again, she has no husband to take care of her. It seems as if in this passage that maybe this woman didn't even have any children to help take care of her, because the Bible says she had two mites. That's all that she had. Just two mites, which would be like two pennies. That's all she had, two pennies. Now, could you imagine if somebody, if we took up the offering, and please, we don't do this, but can you took, if we took up the offering, like, hey, man, Brother Jaden here, he wrote a check for $50,000. Wow. His parents are like, whoa, what, Jaden? What? No, it's just an illustration, okay? Jaden wrote a check for $50,000, right? Miss Jenna, you only gave a dollar. I mean, come on, Miss Jenna. Jaden, man, 50,000. Man, would you like your name put somewhere in the building? You know, what would you like us to do? You know? He says, now wait a minute. He says, oh, hold on. Now, Jaden, the thing with Jaden, yeah, he gave $50,000, but he still got $1 million back at home. But Jenna gave her dollar, and that's all she had. She has nothing else back at home. She has nothing else. That's all she had. She gave her a dollar. Now, folks, please don't go up to them afterwards and be like, oh, can I give you a dollar? Do you need a dollar? That's not what we're talking. But this widow woman gave two mites. That was all she had. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, the widow woman gave more than all of those that gave out of their abundance. When is a dollar ever more than $50,000? When it's all you have. When it's all you have. And Jesus said, she gave more than all of those that cast in of their abundance, because they had still plenty at home. And this is what Paul is saying to the church of Corinth. He said, church, what are you doing? He said, these churches of Macedonia, they are in affliction, they're in poverty, they're in deep poverty, and yet you have an abundance, and yet they are the ones willing to give. You see, when we have the grace of giving, even when circumstances are not what we want them to be, there's still a heart to give. You see, that's the first thing that Paul is pointing out here. They gave despite their circumstance. Because everybody can always go, well, it's just, man, it's tough. Can I ask a question? Has it ever not been tough? It's always tough, right? But when God gives us the grace to give, we can give even despite the circumstance. Notice the second thing we find here. Not only did they give despite the circumstances, they gave enthusiastically. They gave enthusiastically. I don't know if you've ever done this, but when I was sitting up here on the platform, I get to kind of see the crowd and things. But especially when there are kids in the church, and when it comes time to take the offering, I love watching kids giving the offering. Because when it's about time for the offering to be given, this is 9 times out of 10, this is what the kids do. Mom and dad are sitting next to him. I want a dollar. Give me a dollar. Give me some money. I want to put some money in the offering, right? And so mom and dad maybe give them a dollar, maybe give them a quarter, something like that. And as the ushers are walking by, I don't think I've ever seen adults do this. But as the ushers are walking by, the kids are like, if they start to go by, they're chasing them down the aisle. I've got to give this, right? I haven't seen too many adults doing that. But the kids are willing to do that. They're giving enthusiastically, right? I mean, they want to give. They're excited to be able to give. They don't want to miss that chance. That's what the Church of Macedonia was doing. They were giving enthusiastically. They didn't want to miss the chance to be a blessing to others. Notice what it says here. Praying us with much, back up in verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You notice that no one was forcing them to give. No one forced them to give. Paul said, hey, there's a need. And they said, hey, we want to be a part of it. We want to try to help with this. No one forced them to give. They were giving willingly. He says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were giving willingly. Nobody was like coming around with a gun to their head, you got to give. No. They were willingly giving. And when they were willingly giving, notice what happened. They gave beyond their power. When God gives us the grace to give, despite the circumstances, we'll give. and will give enthusiastically. They said, hey, we're going to give, and God's grace enabled them to give beyond their power, beyond what they thought they were able to do. Now, again, we're talking about a church in deep poverty. Please don't miss that. Sometimes we get, well, they just must have had enough. No, they're being persecuted and they're in deep poverty. And yet, because of God's grace in giving, man, they wanted to give willingly. They could not be stopped. It was the grace of God that enabled them even to give beyond their power. They said, hey, this is what we're thinking. And God's grace came upon them. And they said, hey, no, we're going to give even more than that. We're going to give you more. And I can tell you, I don't know that they even knew where it came from. I don't know if they even knew where it came from. But God gave them the grace. And they said, well, hey, we're even going to give more than what we originally thought. I don't understand it many times, even for our church with our missions giving and some other things. There are many times when we say, hey, you know, here's a need or something, and we're hoping to meet that need, and God just gives, and it goes way beyond that. And I sit back and be like, how? Because I know Jaden doesn't have $50,000. And I know you don't either. And yet, when we give despite the circumstances, and we give willfully, and God gives us that grace to give, I'm telling you, we're able to give even beyond our own power, God says. Because we're just trusting God. We're just going to look to Him. And the word here, when he says in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, the word entreaty, it means encouragement. Now, this is what's really interesting, right? Paul says, the churches of Macedonia were encouraging us to receive the gift. It wasn't Paul encouraging them to give. No, they were the ones encouraging Paul to take the gift. Why? Because Paul said, you can't afford this. I know you're in deep poverty. I know you're being persecuted. I know you don't have this to give. And they said, Paul, you are not going to tell us we can't give. They were willing to do it, and they, again, beyond their power, they were encouraging Paul. Paul, you have to take this. We have believers in Jerusalem that are in need. Paul, you have to take this. You can't deny us this blessing. We want to give. And even in the circumstances they were in, God gave them this grace of giving, and they were able to give, and they would not be denied. Again, remember, Paul knew the circumstances of the church of Philippi. Paul had been there. Paul was the one that had helped start the church. Remember in Acts chapter 16 when Paul has the vision to go into Macedonia. And he goes into Macedonia and he goes to Philippi. And there he goes by the river on the Sabbath day and he starts preaching the gospel. And there's a woman there named Lydia that gets saved. And Lydia says, hey, now that I'm saved and I want to open my house for a church and you can meet in my house. And so she opens her house and they begin meeting there. And then, of course, there's this demon-possessed girl that begins following Paul around. And Paul eventually casts out the demon out of this young lady, which makes the young lady's masters very upset because they're making money off of her demon possession by soothsaying and things like that. And Paul cast the demon out. So now they're out. They're losing money. They get mad at Paul. And so now what started off really good, Lydia getting saved and some others getting saved and a church starting to be established. Now, guess where Paul and Silas find themselves? In jail. In prison. They were beaten. They were put in prison. They were put in stocks. Paul and Silas, man, they're in jail now. But yet what do they do in jail? The Bible says they began to sing and praise the Lord. And about midnight, there was an earthquake that came and it shook the jail and the bars, the doors came open and their stocks fell off and they had an opportunity to leave, but they stayed and the jailer comes back in and what happens? The jailer ends up getting saved and his family ends up getting saved. Paul remembered what the church of Philippi, how it had started. He knew there was oppression. He knew there was difficulties that were there. And so he remembered, he said, look, I know it's hard for you to give. I know you don't have an abundance. I know you don't have excess. They said, Paul, you can't stop us from giving. They were the ones encouraging Paul to receive the gift. They understood that by giving, notice what it says here, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They understood that by giving, they were having a part of the ministry in Jerusalem. They said, we want to have a part of this ministry. We want to have a part. Just by a show of hands from people from our church, has anybody from our church ever been to Japan? Okay, a couple of you, right? Anybody from our church ever been to South Africa? No? Anybody from our church ever been to, Argentina? Anybody from our church ever been to China? A couple, right. You say, why are you asking these questions? Well, because we have missionaries in many of these countries. And most of us will never, ever go to any of those countries. But you know what we have an opportunity to do? To be a part of their ministry. We have an opportunity to be a part of their ministry in reaching people with the gospel. How? By giving. We give our missions giving. It goes to help these missionaries all over the world so that they can share the gospel with other people, so that we can try to help meet their needs and we can be a part of their ministry. This is what the church said. Hey, we want to be a part of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And he said, Paul, you can't deny us this. We're going to do this. And they were persecuted church. They're in poverty. And yet, because of the grace of God, God's grace in giving, no matter the circumstance, they're willing to give, and they gave enthusiastically. No one was forcing them to give. But I want you to notice the third thing here. Their giving was motivated by something. It was motivated by love. Their giving was motivated by love. Notice in verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Aren't these people already saved? Yeah, they're already saved. They're part of the church. They're already saved. So what does he mean when he said they first gave their own selves to the Lord? They put God first in their life. They said, God, you're going to be first. And if you want us to give, we're willing to give. You see, when our love for God is right, when God has our heart, everything else just falls into place. That's why a church that was being persecuted and that was in deep poverty, who had absolutely nothing, when they heard of the need and they said, hey, well, we want to be a part of this. And God says, hey, if you want to be a part of this, I'll give you the grace that you need to be a part of it. And they gave beyond their power because of their love for God. They had such a love for God, they wanted other people to know about Jesus Christ as well. They gave themselves to God first. Whatever he wanted them to do, they would do because of their love for him. By the way, they had given numerous times. They'd given numerous times. If you go to the book of Philippians with me, turn over to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, notice in verse number 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10, he says this, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished, what's the next word? Again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul says, look, I've learned to be content. If I have little, if I have much, he says, I've learned that. He says in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But he says in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He says, and even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Paul said, man, church, you're a persecuted church. You are in deep poverty, but yet you are such a giving church. He said, over and over and over and over again, you gave to get the gospel out. You gave for the needs of others. And this is why, notice what he says in verse number 19. This is a verse that many times we like to claim as Christians, right? We like to claim this verse, right? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, can I tell you, that's not for every Christian. That's not for every Christian. That's for the Christians in Philippi who were experienced the grace of giving. They experienced God's grace in giving, and God says, hey, Paul says, I know because you have given and given and given, even when you didn't think you could, even when the circumstances were bad and there was nothing it seemed like you could do, but yet you wanted to be a part of it and you gave and you gave, you gave enthusiastically. Nobody forced you to do it. He said, let me tell you something. God's watching. And he says, God's going to take care of exactly what you need. God's going to take care of it because of your heart in giving, because they loved the Lord. But not only did they love the Lord, they had a love for family. When I say family, I'm talking about the family of God. They had a love for believers. They had heard of the need for those believers in Jerusalem, and they said, we want to help meet those needs. Hey, we've heard about they're struggling. We know what it's like to struggle. We're in poverty. We're being persecuted. We know what that's like. We want to be a help and a blessing. They had a love for other believers, even that weren't even local. They're in Philippi. These believers were back in Jerusalem. They said, we heard of what's going on, and we want to be a help. We want to be an encouragement because we love the family of God. You know, not only did they do it because they love the Lord and they love the family of God, but they also did because they love the lost. They wanted to see the gospel continue to go out. They wanted to see people continue hearing about Jesus Christ in Jerusalem and all over. They wanted to help Paul with many of his needs so that they could be able to get the gospel out so that other people could be saved. They had a love for the lost. They wanted other people to know what they had found out. They wanted other people to know the good news that Paul had come and brought and told them about how Jesus Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And they wanted everybody else to be able to know that too. And so what happened? They're willing to give. That grace of giving. You know, can I say one of the things that's very interesting, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's something that is not mentioned in this passage about giving. There's no amount mentioned. Now, maybe you put an amount in your head. Maybe that, oh boy, this church probably gave a lot. There's not one mention of how much they gave. We have no idea what they gave. Could have been a lot, could have been a little. We have no idea. You say, why didn't Paul mention how much the amount was? Because the amount isn't important. The amount's not important. Because if God gets your heart, we'll give the way he wants us to give. You know why many times we don't give? Because God doesn't have our heart. We're more concerned about an amount. Well, what if he tells me I've got to give this amount? Wait a minute, hold on a second. If God tells you to give that amount, don't you think God's going to take care of you? If God says, hey, I want you to be a blessing to this person and give that to them, don't you think God's going to watch and see what you've done, and don't you think he's going to meet your need? Well, we're so concerned. Well, if it's below this amount, if it's $25 or less, all right, God, I think I can do it. But if you go over that $25 mark, God, you tell me to give $50, I'm out. Whoop, not me. $100? Oh, wait, I'm way out, God. Mm-mm, nope, can't do that. I mean, because I've got to, you know, I've got my things I got to do. Right? I got to get that new TV. I got to get that next phone. I've got to get that computer. I've got to get that car. Wait a minute. This is why Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, who had an abundance. Can I say honestly, church, the church of America is the church of Corinth. We have such an abundance. We have such a surplus. We do. Compared to the believers around the world, we have a great abundance. And yet, no. $50? Mm-mm. Can't do that. I got to go out to eat this afternoon. We'll spend $50 at a restaurant, but we won't give God $50. I'm sorry, it got really quiet in here. We'll spend $50 at a restaurant, no big deal. Plop it down. But when God says to give 50 bucks, boy, we get tight. Well, I can't do that, God. No, nope. Why? Maybe we need that grace in giving, just like the Church of Corinth did. He said, man, church, he said, I'm so proud of you. You're growing in your faith. It's awesome. You're growing in faith and your walk with God. He said, man, you're telling other people about Jesus. It's so awesome, church. Man, you're learning about God, and man, you're being diligent about these things. It's so awesome to see you growing, church. But there's one thing you're lacking. He says, see that you abound in this grace also. Church of Corinth, you're not giving the way you ought to. They say, well, who is Paul to say to the Church of Corinth what they should and they shouldn't give? Paul wasn't telling them an amount to give. Did you get that? He's not telling them to give an amount. He's just saying they've stopped giving. In fact, we'll read a little bit later in the next couple weeks, we'll find out this was something that they had purposed to do and they had put it off for a whole year. They said, oh, we're going to do it. And they never did. They never did. And so Paul says, hey, church, I want to encourage you. Hey, think about these churches of Macedonia. Man, they are in deep poverty. They are being afflicted and persecuted. Yet when we have the grace of God, we can give despite the circumstances. We can give enthusiastically, and we give out of a heart of love. Paul challenges the Corinthians to abound in the grace of giving. Abound in the grace of giving. He says, you're abounding in faith. You're abounding in utterance and getting the gospel out. You're abounding in knowledge and diligence. You're abounding in love. He says these things. Even he says, your love to us. But he says, see that you abound in this grace also. Maybe it's time that we just said, God, it's not just my life, my soul, that I give to you. But God, I give you it all. It's all yours. It's all, I just surrender it all. God, my job, my family, my bank accounts, my paycheck, God, it's all yours. And I want you, God, to give me grace so that I can give the way you want me to give. You say, what amount? I'm not talking about an amount. I'm talking about a specific amount. Just say, God, would you give me a heart that loves you? God, would you give me a heart that loves my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, a heart that loves the lost so that when you tell me to give, when there's a need that I can give to, that God, I'll be ready to give no matter what the circumstances are. Look, friend, we're not in deep poverty and we're not being persecuted. Are we willing to give when God tells us to give? Or have we become the Church of Corinth? We're just going to keep it. We like our nice things. We like everything the way that they are. Don't tell me to give, God. He says, you need to abound in this grace also. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Friend, can I ask you, we mentioned at the beginning of the service, do you know for sure that there's a time in your life when you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I didn't ask when you became a church member. I didn't ask when you got baptized. I didn't ask if you're a good person. No. Do you know that there is a time in your life when you recognize that you were a sinner, that you could not save yourself, and that Jesus Christ was the only one that could save you from your sin, and you called out to him to save you? Can you remember that time? If you can't remember a time when you've done that, friend, maybe this morning, maybe you'd give us the honor of taking the Word of God and showing you how you could be saved. To know for sure that Jesus is your Savior. To know for sure that when you die, you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone like that this morning. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Nobody's going to come to you, but I would like to pray for you this morning. If you say, Pastor Andrew, that's me, I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I'm not sure if I'm saved. But would you pray for me? I'd like to know more about how to be saved. Just lift your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Just slip it up and right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Nobody else is looking about. Just slip it up and right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have the invitation. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you'd like to know him, you can come during the invitation. We'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. You can meet me in the lobby afterwards and say, Pastor, can I have make an appointment with you? I'd like to talk with you more. Because, friend, that is the most important decision you can make in your life. Christian, what about you this morning? Does God have our heart? Does he have all of it? Or do we need to grow in this area of grace giving? That even through the circumstances, we can give enthusiastically and we give because of our love for God, our love for other brothers and sisters in Christ that are in need, and our love for the lost. That we just say, God, it's all yours. I want to grow in that area of grace giving. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, as only you can. Lord, I pray that we'd be yielded and obedient to what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together quietly this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. Friend, if maybe God has spoken to your heart about something, maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe it's time to say, God, you have it all. You have it all. It's not just my life for salvation, but God, you have my job and you have my bank account. You have my paycheck. You have my family. You have my kids. You have it all. When God speaks to our heart about giving, do we just automatically put up a barrier and say, nope, not me. I'm not going to give. Or have we said, God, would you give me that grace of giving? Give me that grace in giving, God, that I can be like the churches of Macedonia. Thankfully, we're not in deep persecution. We're not in deep poverty. But I want to be able to give like they gave. To help meet the needs of others. Brothers and sisters in Christ. The lost. To hear the gospel message. As you abound in all of these things, he says, abound in this grace also.